The First Home Focus YouTube channel, in association with Skipton Building Society, is packed with practical tips and clear guidance to help first-time buyers feel confident about taking that first step. In this special episode on the Move IQ channel, we're spotlighting some of the standout moments and key insights from the channel. From honest conversations to important takeaways that reflect the real experience of buying your first home. There's some great content waiting for you right now, and even more to come. So if you find this helpful, make sure you subscribe to First Home Focus in association with Skipton Building Society and be ready for what's next. Let's get started.
How are the interest rates actually calculated, and what affects those rates?
There's a lot of moving parts when it comes to interest rates, and it's not a one-size-fits-all approach to calculating them. I'd say first up being the economy. So when you see high levels of inflation and strong economic growth, interest rates generally follow on a higher. On the flip side, if you are potentially facing into a recession or more muted growth, then interest rates are generally lower.
And does it depend on the appetite of the lender, whether they're keen or less keen to take on risk and
So each lender will have their own kind of plans, their own appetite and their own focuses, and that may change year on year. So there'll be some lenders that are more want to be more competitive in certain areas and less so in other areas, and that also then influences what kind of interest rates they'll put out there for customers.
Well, let's kick things off. What is a mortgage in principle, and why are they so important?
Yeah, sure. So it's an indication from a lender's point of view of how much they're actually willing to lend to a client or an applicant. It's not guaranteed, so you need to be aware of this, but effectively gives a guide of what they're willing to lend.
And what would the benefits of having one be?
There are a few benefits for it, definitely. I think one is going to be that it'll give the buyer confidence to be able to go out there and actually make an offer on a property with the right indication or right idea of what they're willing to spend or willing to be able to afford, should I say. And also, I think with the competition that's out there, it can, I say stress can put them in a better position if there's a lot of competition.
Yeah, I'd agree. Would you say having one accelerates the whole process?
If I'm being honest, no, not necessarily. I think it's a good tool to have in the bag or towards buying a property, but would it speed it up? Not necessarily, because there's other factors that come into play. Let's say, for example, they go and make an offer higher than what they originally planned, would have to start the process again, or there have to be an amendment. So it's good to have in the bag, but
it's a fairly simple thing to get hold of, isn't it? So it doesn't take very long, so you might as well do it, because it puts you in a far better position in the eyes of both the estate agents and the vendors.
Totally agree. The process isn't long. It's normally about 20 to 30 minutes to get done. If you've got the right documents with you, your bank statements, your up-to-date commitments, the rest of it's just following a process. The applications will lead you through it. And as you said, it definitely will put you in a better light, let's say, when you're making an offer.
What do lenders generally consider when it comes to assessing somebody's criteria?
Things like income versus affordability, so expenditure, credit commitments, credit score, so what does that look like overall, the amount that you're looking to borrow versus the amount that the property is worth.
What about area across the country? Are they at all interested in that, or the type of property?
Yeah, definitely. Good question. Things like geographical area or number of dependents. You might have children, elderly relatives that are dependent on you. Some of these things are also taken into consideration as a sort of well-rounded picture, if you will. Some of these things are actually built into like a lender's metrics. So they'll do some of these checks in the background, but some basic details from you to start off with is a good place.
And is it a case of you plug in all of the, or they plug in all of your situation and it spits out yes or no? Or is it a bit more to it than that?
Yeah, there's actually a lot more to it, Phil. And I like that you've asked the question, because a lot of first-time buyers have this misconception that it's a computer says yes or no. And actually, there's a lot more work that goes on in the back. So there's some work that goes on in the metrics or algorithms that are built into lenders, websites, calculators. And outside of that, you will have a human that will look at your application, your circumstances as a whole, and really assess if it's the right thing for you and for them as well.
People have accepted that we're over the peak and things likely to improve from here on?
Yes. So I don't think we're expecting to go to kind of like an ultra low rate environment again. So I'm not predicting any kind of interest rates at back at 1%, or they were sub 1%, weren't they? But yeah, we have seen rates starting to move down, and news from the Bank of England has been to kind of expect gradual reductions. That doesn't always mean necessarily reductions in fixed rates, because if the market is already pricing that in, because it gets factored into a cost of lenders pricing their products, but it does mean that we're not going to see them ramp back up. So I think gradual easing of rates, but not massive cliff edge reductions is what we're expecting.
Can you just talk a bit more about that? So the anticipated rate falls have already been factored into fixed rate lending. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. So what happens with fixed rate mortgages is when a lender's pricing that, they have to take account of where do we think interest rates will be over that fixed period. So whether it's 2 years, 5 years or 10 years. And that interest rate is linked back to kind of the cost of borrowing, so longer term gilts.
Yeah.
If we believe that that longer term cost of borrowing, let's say, settles for, I'm just going to make a number up, at 3% over a 5 year period, we factor that in. So if we then see expectations and the Bank of England do something different, then that will impact on fixed rates. Okay. But if it all follows current thinking, they're broadly where they should be.
It's an interesting one. I guess it keeps you all on your toes. But let me put you on the spot. If you were going to take, would you take a fixed rate or a tracker now?
Ooh, would I take a fixed rate or a tracker? It'd be dependent on what the price is. We are expecting that we'll see gradual rate cuts from Bank of England. So therefore, you could argue I might choose to take a tracker because I'll kind of hedge my bets on what rates are going to do. But to start off with, I'd need to say, well, what's the price on top of the base rate? Does it make sense? Because actually, if they're broadly similar, then is it worthwhile? And also, it comes into your own personal risk choice then, because do I want certainty of interest rate that I know I can make that monthly commitment every month? And yes, rates might go down, but equally, something could happen and they go up. So it's all about personal preference, really.
That was a good answer, because there is no right or wrong.
There is absolutely no right or wrong.
Each person is in their own unique set of circumstances.
Yeah, and that's why it's really important to try and speak. If you're unsure and you're not certain around your choices, that's why we'd always say speak to somebody that can get some kind of advice on that.
And are there any steps that you'd suggest a first-time buyer would take in order to secure themselves the best rate?
Yeah, so I would say doing some research on the market and what's out there and what is suitable for you. So a mortgage advisor can help that, or a broker, and getting some advice on what the best options are out there for you. Another one is considering the amount of deposit you're putting down, because generally speaking, the bigger the deposit, the lower the rate. So if you are in a position where you could put some more down, it may help you secure a better mortgage rate.
What about credit score?
So again, credit score will come into play when it comes to mortgage interest rates, and some lenders will have slightly different options for better credit scores and for less favourable credit scores.
So the lenders will lend if your credit score's not quite where it should be, but the interest rate that they will lend to you will be different.
Yeah, there's definitely some options out there where you may not have the most perfect credit score, but actually you are somebody that the lender wants to lend to, but they may offer you a slightly higher interest rate for that.
Yeah.
But you get people that, you know, have got a history of bad credit, things like defaults, things like CCJs, and it may be that you have to go to a slightly less mainstream lender to get the mortgage that you need. So there's definitely options out there for people that have had a less than perfect credit history.
Okay. But it may cost them a little bit more and require a bit more research, but it's perfectly possible.
Yeah, of course it is.
Some other tips to take into consideration, a good place to start is, who do you bank with at the minute? You know, does your bank know you? Your bank does know you, because you have a relationship with them. That's somewhere you can start.
Yeah.
Speak to family and friends, like you rightly said, who has taken out a mortgage recently in your circle. What was their experience like?
Yeah.
And then most places you'll find what we call a local broker. Right. Lenders work with intermediaries, commonly known as mortgage and protection brokers. And the good thing about a broker is they have access to a panel of lenders. So not just one, but actually they will have a list of lenders that they will work with, they're familiar with, and they will also have access to their individual criteria.
Yeah.
So they can work with a first-time buyer, understand the first-time buyer's individual experiences, where are they at the moment in the process? What are the priorities? And really guide them through that.
I always think it's useful to have somebody on your side who works in the market on a daily basis, understands what's happening all of the time, because the mortgage markets move all of the time, and an individual first-time buyer's situation is very specific to them, and the broker can help with that.
Yeah, definitely, and I agree. Having somebody on your side who has the experience and expertise that you wouldn't have, because an average first-time buyer, they don't know what they don't know, right?
Yes, good point.
But somebody like a broker or a mortgage expert, a mortgage advisor, they have the experience and the intel that your average first-time buyer doesn't have. They will work with you, and that's what's the most important thing. A broker will work with you to try and find the right mortgage type that fits for you and your circumstances. Because it's your first time round, right? It's a really big commitment.
Sure.
So it's great to have somebody on board that's on your side, who understands you, but also has the experience and is qualified to make the right recommendation.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Move IQ's First Home Focus podcast. We hope you found our tips and advice helpful. And remember, home ownership may be closer than you think, and we are here to support you every step of the way. So please don't forget to subscribe, rate and review our podcast so you never miss an episode. Until next time.
You could lose your home if you don't keep up your mortgage repayments.